Welcome back.
Hello. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
We're here with a special guest today. Hi, Oindrola.
Hello.
What's up, girl?
I'm good. I'm trying to survive out here.
Aren't we all, sis? Aren't we all? Well, welcome to our podcast. I'm Olivia.
I'm Mitali.
And this is Read the Damn Room.
Read the Damn Room. So today we're going to be talking about fat phobia or anti-fat bias, which is... We kind of touched on it in our lookism episode, but it's basically discriminating against somebody on the basis of their weight or how they look or whether they're fat, skinny. Yeah. So we were just talking about Lizzo and how she, even though she's like so, so, so talented, she's still just like horribly treated by a lot of men and like just haters in general.
That's the thing. Like, I feel like people, when they see a bigger woman, they automatically associate her with being ugly, whereas if there's like a woman who's thin and like more average looking societally, she's automatically considered pretty.
Exactly.
Even today I was on her Instagram story or whatever, and like she posted like, it's Saturday or it's Sunday, eat a donut, and all I could think was, oh Lord, girl, like I already know people are about to be coming for you for no fucking reason because you just want to have a fucking donut. Like, you know what I mean? That's where my mind like immediately goes to, is like, people are going to treat you like shit when you're just like trying to live your fucking life. Meanwhile, like, let's say Sweetie had posted like, it's Saturday, eat a donut. Nobody would even bat an eye. It's like, oh, that's so cute. Like, skinny girls who eat food are so cute. And like, that comparison literally has happened. Sweetie loves to post like videos of herself like eating a pound of crab meat and like hot Cheetos and shit, and like whenever a skinny person does it, it's like, oh, it's so cute, it's so quirky. Like, we don't police people who are skinny, like their bodies that way, but we totally police fat people's bodies that way. And it doesn't matter if you're a celebrity, it doesn't matter who you are, like people are constantly looking for a way to like shit on you. And you're, you know, that's probably the easiest way to pick apart Lizzo, right? It's her appearance, even though she's literally this powerhouse singer, and she spends hours like learning dance moves and being on her feet for tours. Like, you know, I think we had also talked about like the fact that she's vegan. And like, she's very, very, very careful about the things that she eats. And yet, like, that's not good enough for people. Or like
she could play the flute, she can dance, she can sing all at the same time. Like, I remember, I don't know who I was watching, I think it was like Rihanna, like one of the award shows when she was still doing music.
Let's not talk about it, but finish your story.
But like, she was dancing, doing a full dance routine and singing. And it's just like, I can't even go up the stairs without getting winded. Like, and nobody's like policing me, like, what did you eat today? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, like that just reminded me, like a couple years ago, I remember when we were in high school, like, I would see all these like tweets and stuff about like, oh, like men would be like, oh, I like get you a girl who can like eat, like out eat you, like all this stuff. But then like the images associated with that were like these skinny women, like who just have like these fast metabolisms, like kind of like what you were saying, those like skinny girls like eating the huge boxes of pizza and wine and like pasta, donuts, whatever. But then like as soon as like a fat person is doing anything remotely like normal, it's considered so criminal.
And that's the thing too, it's like Lizzo, like even if she wasn't like super in shape or like eating vegan or whatever, like she's still just like a fucking human being that like deserves to be able to just be whoever the fuck she wants to be and like be treated with dignity and respect. And it's just like shitty that she, you know, I feel like sometimes people who are bigger feel the constant need to like prove themselves when they're in like public spaces, that like, well, I'm bigger, but like I live my life a certain way. Like, I don't have to prove anything about myself on a regular basis. I just like mind my business. You know, if I want to eat a large pizza and nobody's gonna blink. It's fucked up, you know? Let's like just like respect each other. I don't fucking know.
One thing that was interesting to me, though, I was reading about this today, and like if you have a BMI that's like 30 and over, you're some states you're eligible to get the vaccine. And so I like calculated my BMI. I'm technically obese, which is like, bitch, where? In the state of Washington, I'm not eligible to get a vaccine because we're not at that phase of the vaccine. That's like the one benefit of being, of having a higher BMI. That's literally what that means. But I do want to talk about BMI. I'm going to go on my little rant here. So I wrote this, I was going to write this piece for Anti-Racism Daily. Didn't end up getting published. It's fine. But basically I went into like the racist history of BMI. And basically it came from a Belgian mathematician named Adolphe Quetelet. I don't know how to say his name, but it was used to study populations, not individuals. And then I don't remember who kind of took that equation and turned it into the BMI scale that's now used by doctors. But the only people that Quetelet used to like study populations were European white people. And like, you know, now, like,
yeah,
people of different ethnicities, whether they're African American or Asian or what have you, like they have different like ratios of like body fat, different, you know, their bodies are made up differently, although we have like the same kind of makeup, like the metabolism is going to be different, the weight is going to be different, you know, there's all these different diets and lifestyles that we have to take into account. And like we're all, and they, he only studied white men, so it's like it doesn't even include women. And so that's why BMI is really, really racist and just like not inclusive of other people. And like, I've been told that I'm like overweight since I was like 12 years old. Imagine what it's like for people who are heavier, like Lizzo, where it's just like, I am healthy. Like I can run up a flight of stairs like 6 times and be fine. I think it was an Instagram post, like some infographic that was like, when you look at someone and you decide whether or not, like looking at someone is not a factor in determining how healthy they are or like their weight, because everyone is so different. It's ridiculous. BMI is racist and it's not even accurate or even based in science at all.
Yeah. And I also want to mention, like, I feel like people of color, especially like racial groups and ethnic groups who've been through like extreme amounts of trauma in their like lineage, carry so much of that psychological trauma in their bodies. I remember like in one of my social classes, we were studying about how a wealthy Black woman is at a much higher risk of like a mortality rate of her like newborn infant than a poor, uneducated white woman. So I'm like, you know, that comes from the literal generational trauma that lives in your body. And I think that's prevalent in the case of like a lot of Black women in the conversation of fat phobia too.
People always see like quote unquote weight issues as like a physical thing, where like it's a lot of like mental and emotional things that can really like cause us to live that way or live in those bodies. So I think that's a really good point about the trauma that comes with that.
Exactly. And just like, I feel like this obsession that we have with like diet culture and which leads to like eating disorders, like I feel like I think the most popular diets I feel like right now are like intermittent fasting. Keto is really popular, but I think keto and intermittent fasting are like super popular, obviously being vegan, but that's expensive. That's so expensive. And you have so limited options. Like, and I was vegetarian for the longest time. And even then I was like, ugh, I can only eat fries, or like, I can only have salads. And like, I can't imagine what it's like to like, when you don't have the resources to be vegan, like what that looks like and how expensive that is. But from my experience, like dieting and like stuff like that, like I just get so hungry. I have no energy. I need carbs. Like I need carbs to like have, and it's not even just to like go throughout my day. I need carbs to like focus at work. I need carbs to do my work. Like, it affects your brain power. It affects like how you feel. And then like a lot of these diet like companies like Weight Watchers and Noom, like they have you on a caloric deficit, but it's so little calories that you're basically starving yourself. And it's just messed up, because like how do you not expect people to get anorexia or bulimia?
I was just talking to a friend who like was telling me that they were going on like a veganism kick, and they were, it was some like, I don't know what diet, but it was some one of those fucking diets that people tend to like get on to lose weight. And he was telling me like, oh, we're like only eating 1,000 calories a day. I'm like, 1,000 calories? I'm like, the average person eats 2,000 a day. Like, you're not tired, you're not faint, you're not winded. And it's like, well, I just kind of got used to it. Like, I just don't feel like your body, that's something your body should get used to, is to eating 1,000 calories a day. We're not, as human beings, meant to be eating so little and then overexerting ourselves by working out for how many hours a day. If you're going to be working out like that, you, most people, you know, that I know who are doing it in more of a quote unquote healthy lifestyle, they're eating more calories and working out that much. You know what I mean? Because your body needs energy in order to like work out and process that. Like that's just like basic, you know what I mean? Like basic understanding of how your body functions. So to be only eating 1,000 calories a day, just like, I just don't understand. And it leads to, you're right, it totally leads to things like food disorders. I think this week is Eating Disorder Awareness Week. You know, like it totally leads to body dysmorphia. It leads to eating disorders. It leads to people literally feeling like they can't look like a human being, which is just like so ridiculous. Like we're all supposed to look like sticks. I don't get it, you know? And it just like, it really concerns me. And it's one of the reasons that like, I personally, like, I always like to say, if I'm going to start eating healthier, like it's not going to be on some very strict regimen, because I just don't feel like that's a healthy way to healthy relationship to have with food. And it causes people to really feel like shit about themselves. If you miss a day and you're getting 1200 or against 1,000, like that causes people to have such like psychological trauma. I just don't, it's not for me personally. And I think it's something that we have to get rid of, is diet culture for sure. Also people feel like it's quick fixes. And I think, Matalia, you brought this up last time, like you just gain it back.
Exactly. All the science that has looked into like diets and fad diets and stuff, the reason that they don't work is because you always gain the weight back. But that's how this industry makes so much money, is like, say I go and get a subscription or membership at Weight Watchers. I do it for 3 months. It works amazing. I drop 50 pounds and I've never felt better. But eventually you're not going to stick with that diet, right? If no one's like, you're not going to pay for Weight Watchers like all throughout, unless you're super rich and super dedicated. So you're going to stop, you're going to gain it back. And then you're going to be like, well, that worked so well for me, I'm going to go buy it again. And there's so much money to be made on you hating yourself. Yeah, the only thing that's actually proven to work is intuitive eating. I don't know enough about it. Like, I do want to research it. But just from everything that we've been talking about, like, the thing with calorie restrictions is, like, the whole, like, idea of, like, cheating and, like, eating is bad. Like, when I've restricted my calories, like, okay, I'm only going to have 2 meals and a protein shake. It's 10 o'clock at night and I'm hungry because I didn't eat enough during the day. And then I go downstairs and I make a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. This is always how it goes. Like, and then sometimes, like, I know during like the school year, I'll be so stressed, I won't eat. And then at the end of the day, I'm like, I'm starving, and you binge and you feel like shit. You know, it's disordered eating, or it becomes an eating disorder. You know what I mean? So just like being like aware of your relationship with food is super important. And like, as soon as you start labeling things as like, that's bad, that's good, that's terrible, you know, there are obviously some things that I try to avoid, like, you know, like red meat personally is just not great for me, and dairy, which is mostly for my skin, and then like sugar, because it affects like my body in different ways. But just like having certain things that it's like you're wary of, totally fine. But as soon as you're just like, donut is bad, salad is good, like it's a slippery slope. And that's what I've seen with so many women.
I also feel like there's a difference between choosing not to eat something because you feel better, like physically you feel better, and choosing not to eat something because you want to be skinny. Those are two very different goals, right? If you're eating certain, you know, I'm going to cut out red meat, I'm going to cut out meat because I feel better when I don't eat meat. I sleep better at night, or I don't feel as tired or whatever. I feel better when I'm a vegetarian versus when I eat meat. That's totally fine. That's totally fine. But when you're like, I don't want to eat meat because I'm trying to drop 20 pounds within the next month, like, you've just said it's totally different, right? You're now basing your value on what you look like. And that's a completely different circumstance than choosing not to eat something because physically you feel better. Then mentally you're having this vision of yourself that like ultimately like does not exist. Like, because the fact of the matter, again, like back to the whole eating disorder thing, like you're not going to stop until you feel like you've reached this goal weight, and then you're going to gain it back, and then you're going to go back. And it's just a mess.
I was just going to say, I feel like it's the same concept when it comes to working out. Like for me personally, I've noticed that when I go into exercising with the idea that, oh, I'm exercising to look this way or like look like this person or lose this much weight, it doesn't actually get me anywhere. And I have to more so be motivated by the fact that working out is actually healthy for my body in general. And like, it makes me feel better. It gives me more energy. Like,
for the longest time, like for me, like working out was a point of contention between me and my family because my parents saw like me gain weight as I like, you know, got on birth control, started taking antidepressants, like, you know, dealt with being a woman, you know. As I got older, like the weight just kind of started to go up and it was an upward trend. And my parents weren't concerned, like, are you doing okay mentally? It was more so like, you look bigger where you need to lose the weight. No one who's at your age should be at that size. You know what I mean? And like, I feel like it was to spite my parents, I was like, I'm not going to work out because in my mind it had that negative connotation. Well,
I think too that also speaks to something, right? Like, oh, our parents can traumatize the hell out of us, bro. Like, and I think that stems from, you know, the way that they were raised and the way that they see, you know, just the other day, my mom said something about the fact that I weigh more than she did when she was my age. And it's like, okay. And like, you know what I mean? I feel like there's always this, like, I just feel like I'm so ready for the day where talking about weight, the other way other people weigh is taboo. Like saying that, oh, you look great because you've lost, I can tell you've lost some weight. Like, okay, like I'm depressed, so I'm not eating three meals a day anymore. I'm actually like, it's so hard for me to even get up and make myself a meal, you know, or I'm just eating potato chips all day. Whereas like, and in the same sense, like, oh, you've gained a lot of weight lately. Like, are you doing okay? Like, that's the same thing. You literally could be depressed and you're feeling the exact same way. You know what I mean? Like everybody's body reacts to trauma differently. And I just feel like I'm just waiting for the day where we don't make people feel like shit by like mentioning how much they weigh. Like we're already all, I think, combating those stigmas because of the way that we're being sold this idea that skinny is the best like body type to have. I don't need you on top of that to like mention every single moment of the day that like, or every time you see me, like you haven't seen me in 2 weeks. Oh my gosh, like you look good. You've lost all this weight. Like are you okay? Like you're getting a little bigger or, you know, I forget what it was. I was wearing a crop top, to a function a couple weeks ago and like my stepdad commented on it, but it was like, I used to wear crop tops all the time when I was a lot skinnier than I am now. It's like, there's always this like double standard where if you're like a little bit heavier, if you've gained weight, like people really look at you differently and see you differently.
Or even like sexualize you. Like I know like people with bigger butts, like, you know, you wear skinny jeans. It's an extremely different statement as if it's saying anything at all than, you know, someone with like a flat ass. You know what I mean? Like there's the hypersexualization of fat women or inherently saying, like, oh, you know, you must want to just show off your body. And it's like, you know, I can't really help. I didn't, you know, wake up today and be like, how do I customize my body? Like, I'm not Kylie Jenner. I'm sorry. But like, it's just ridiculous. And like, especially with the whole parent thing, like when during the summer, like I was working, I was doing the Chloe Ting, like summer shred challenge. I was probably eating 1 to 2 meals a day and then having a protein shake and I lost like 10 pounds, but I looked a lot thinner. And people treated me better. My parents treated me better. They said, good job. And you know what that makes me want to do? Makes me want to not eat. So when you tell somebody like, oh, you look good, you look thin, guess what they're going to do this evening or the next evening? It's going to make them not want to eat, or it's going to make them binge and then, throw it up. Like your comments, and people say like, oh, you're snowflakes, you're sensitive. It's like, I think now people, especially women, are setting their boundaries and being like, I don't want comments about my body. I don't. And that's so offensive to some people because they don't get to say whatever they want and they have to censor themselves. And they're like, well, this is America. I should be able to say whatever I want. You're a fat fuck. And no one can stop me from saying that. It's like, we saw what that did to like Jonah Hill. I don't know if you guys saw that tweet where it's like he couldn't even take his shirt off because of the paps and because of what people would say. And it's just like, it affects men just as much as it affects women. Women just have a different, there's a lot more pressure on them to be thin as opposed to men.
Because there's more of a beauty standard associated with women than men. I've like noticed that like a lot of times like people will tell me like, "Oh my God, you look good, like you look skinny." And I'm like, and they'll be like, "The gym is working out." And I'm like, "Okay, like that's rude, but all right." Like I mean, I'm like, I guess I appreciate it, but at the same time, I'm like, that seems backhanded in a way almost. Because at the end of the day, I'm like, I am who I am, and I'm like, this is my vessel, and like, no matter what state it's in, like, it's gonna be me. So, like, the fact that you're telling me I look good only when I'm like not eating, or like when I'm like overworking my body and not eating, is like, what does that say about you and like society as a whole, you know?
Transforming like my Instagram feed and like my Twitter feed by like unfollowing all the people that like quote unquote like trigger me, like and following people. I followed a lot of people, and Oindrella got me to do this actually. She was like, follow plus size people, follow curvy women, follow people who look like you. And that was instrumental in like my body image, body dysmorphia. Like Oindrella knows like firsthand. I'm like sending her pictures of myself. I'm like, girl, I look so fat. And she's like, bitch, where? Like, are you crazy? Like, are we looking at the same picture? And we're not, because I'm like hypercritical of myself. I have been since I was like 10 years old. This starts so young, and it's so hard to unlearn these things.
Matal, you are hot and don't ever forget it. Period. I want to talk about body positivity. I want to get a chance to do that. I think it's a blessing and a curse that it exists. I mean, the premise of it was like it belonged to fat people, right? And I think the fact that skinny people have kind of gentrified and colonized the body positivity movement. I don't even really know how else to put it. Like, it's so fucking problematic. I think there are certain things that, I think are like kind of inclusive, like disability, for example, people who use the body positivity movement to discuss like, not having certain body parts or whatever, but like this idea that like skinny people need the body positivity movement or like skinny phobia exists is just like, oh, it stresses me out.
I'm just like, I get it, but at the same time, it's like in no way the same at all. Like you're not actually being discriminated against for your size. Like you may get comments like, oh, you ain't got no ass, but you're never ever going to be judged by a doctor, not given proper access to health care. You're not going to have a problem finding a seat on the airplane, like basic things in life that like skinny people have access to are always going to be a problem for fat people because of fat phobia. And I think that's where the issue is with skinny people trying to co-opt the whole body positivity movement.
Literally, until like a couple months ago, I didn't know what a seatbelt extender was because I was listening to this other podcast. It's called Maintenance Phase, I think. Yeah, Maintenance Phase. And they had this lovely author of the book called What We Don't Talk About When We Talk About Fat. And she was talking about how, like, if in on an airplane, most airlines have a policy that if you get seated next to like a morbidly obese person and it makes you so uncomfortable, you can fully refund your ticket. You can get it refunded because it has like ruined your experience per se. That's what they said on the podcast.
That is so sad.
It's like when white people are like, I'm being discriminated against. It's the same kind of energy that I get from skinny people. They're like, they said I have no ass and no tits and I'm so sad. It's like, well, I was literally like verbally abused on an airplane because I was too fat.
I'm not sure if it's still like allowed now. Like it might be like illegal to do this now, but I know just like a couple years ago, like on certain airlines, people who were considered, you know, obese or were fat were required to purchase 2 tickets on some airlines. Because it's like, I'm so uncomfortable having this other person sit next to me, or that person's going to take up so much space. You know, it's just like, I don't know. I don't think that exists anymore. Like, I think it's like illegal now, but the fact that like it even had to like, you had to say that was illegal. Like you were able to like literally discriminate against people and like make them pay double the money to have like 2 seats on an airline, which like, the fact that airline seats are not big enough to accommodate bigger people right now is just problematic in the first place. So it's all about money. Always. It's always all about money.
Yeah. So that's why I don't really have any sympathy for like skinny people who like hunch over and then they have like one roll and they're like, it's so hard to be so morbidly obese. It's like, no, sweetie, like you just got a bad angle. And like, there is no such thing as bad angles. Like,
it was that TikTok trend for me where they were like, my body looks like this hunched over, but it also looks like this. Like, help us all, please.
That was so triggering because like right after like that trend blew up, I remember I posted like a glow up video where you post like pictures of yourself from like freshman year of college versus like now. And like one of them, I think, was like a bikini picture of me. And like, I thought I looked so good. Like, you know, I was doing really well. I was like on the path to going viral, right? And then it got taken down because it was like going against community guidelines for like sexual activity / nudity. But then meanwhile, there's all these like little like skinny / mid-sized girls out here like jumping around in their bikinis or like hunching over, showing their non-existent like fake roles, being like, this is what I look like in reality, whatever. It's just such a double standard because I'm like, you're allowing for this system of oppression to continue. This whole double standard is really just perpetuating more anxiety in bigger people while you're consistently silencing and censoring bigger bodies, you know?
It's crazy to think about how these algorithms are like fatphobic. And they're racist and they're like, because the person who took your photo down isn't a human. It's a fucking computer that they've enabled to do that. So it's just like really fucked up. Like, you know, algorithms are created by people who have those certain biases and those certain things. So it's just fucked up. Very fucked up.
Yeah. There was this whole YouTube video about why, like, I think the title of the video is called like Why TikTok Makes You Think You're Ugly. And it's literally about the filter, it's like, or the algorithm, which is made by humans who have racial bias. And that's like years of conditioning and unlearning. And like, that's what like fighting fat phobia is. It's rewiring those neural pathways. It's relearning how to love yourself. And despite everything that has been taught to you or explained to you in like the most negative and awful way, it's fat phobia is pervasive and every aspect of our lives, and it's dangerous and often fatal, especially for Black people.
Fuck them skinny bitches in the club in the name of Nicki Minaj. I think that's the way we should end it. Fuck them skinny bitches in the club.
Fuck them.
All right.
Thank you for coming.
Well, thank you for having me, guys.
Thank you for coming twice.
We just read the damn room. So join us next week and we're going to talk about some shit. We're going to talk shit like we do every week.
And you're going to love it because you're going to love us. Period.
And if you don't, I will cancel you personally. I will show up at your door, double masked, and cancel you. Period.